We're partnering with the Persecution Project Foundation right now to help embattled Christians that are being attacked for their faith in the Sudan. Go to ChristmasAirlift.com right now and give whatever you can to help these dear families in the Sudan. ChristmasAirlift.com.
This is Rodney from the Masculine Journey podcast, where we explored manhood within Jesus Christ. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Sit back, enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
All right, for my YouTube channel, If Not For God with Mike Zwick. Just like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell so you'll be alerted when we have our next video.
Welcome to If Not For God, stories of hopelessness that turn to hope. Here is your host, Mike Zwick.
All right, If Not For God with Mike Zwick, I've got Christy Real here. She is keeping it real, and she is a lot of fun. But, you know, a lot of people liked our last interview that we did, Christy, with Pastor Steve Good, G-O-O-D-E, over at his church, Northside Baptist, in Greensboro, North Carolina. And you really liked Pastor Steve, didn't you?
I did. I thought he was amazing, yes.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
And after the interview, you actually saw something on his back. Is that right?
Oh, yes. That backpack. He had a massive sword sticking out of a backpack on his back, which was pretty amazing. It shows that he's been spent time with God's time in the Word.
Time in the Word. Mm-hmm. Speaking of time in the Word, you were on your way over here this morning.
Yes.
And you got a word from the Lord. What was it?
Yeah. So I was asking the Lord what, you know, he wanted to talk about today. And I heard the Lord say, I want to talk about the coming sound.
Okay.
And I was like, Lord, what sound? And he said, the sound of the trumpet.
Okay.
And it's so fresh. I may not remember it exactly so, but he said that that every person that's not marked by the blood of the Lamb will perish. Ooh. In the coming sound. And that the earth would be shaken, like the dust of the ground would be shaken. And that if we have not stored up the word in our heart, that we would fall. And that we would not be able to fulfill our destinies in the earth. And we wouldn't be able to stand in those days if we haven't stored up the word of God in our heart.
Well, the Bible actually talks about hiding the word in your heart. It's Psalm 119, 11. It says, I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And going to the other part that you said, Revelation 22, 12 in the NIV says, look, I am coming soon and my reward is with me and I will give to each person according to what they have done. And one of the things that we were talking about, Christy, when we were on we were doing the last show together and also on the revival, is that a lot of people and a lot of Christians who are in the church don't really have a sense of urgency about getting the gospel out there. Don't really have a sense of urgency about revival, but you do, right?
Yes, I do. And you know what's interesting about you reading Revelation 22:12?
That's right.
Is that we're getting ready to come into December 22nd, so it's 12:22. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, wow. You think it means something? Or
I think God's really intentional about everything that he does. I think he's very, very intentional. Yes.
Wow. And so we were talking on the show the last time, and a lot of people were excited about the encounters that you've had with angels, and we were talking the other day and you said you've actually had some encounters with demons, but you were what, 8 or 10 years old?
Yeah. So when I was 10 years old, you know, I didn't grow up in necessarily a Christian home. Okay. We went to church and, you know, I got saved when I was 8, and I think it was around age 10 that I was asleep in my bed one night, and I woke up, and there were monsters all over my bedroom, hundreds of them. They were flying down the hallway. They were everywhere. And one in particular, my uncle was in the Army, and he had a Army shirt with a skull and like a ram skull on it, yeah. And that was in my room that night. And I remember being terrified to call my mom that they were going to get me or they would get her or whatever. Sure. And so I actually got in trouble about that the next day. That's how afraid I was. And then years later, I realized that that was actually the start of a seer gift.
Okay.
And so, and I don't think it's unique to me or anybody else. I think we all have the ability to encounter God in his and the spiritual realm.
And so you said the next day when you told your parents about it, what happened to you?
I got a whipping. I was scared to go to my bedroom. My mom's going to kill me. But I was scared to go up to my bedroom, and I actually got in trouble because I didn't want to go to bed because I was so afraid. And since then, I've seen I've had multiple encounters with Satan and multiple encounters with demons. And, you know, it just is what it is. Jesus is real, and the price that he paid on the cross is real. And he really redeemed us back from the fall.
Wow. And so you said recently you went to Atlanta.
Yes. So I was living in Atlanta a couple of years ago, and the Lord, I was driving in downtown Atlanta, and there's a part of Atlanta where there's the rainbow painted on the, like a square.
Okay.
And the Lord spoke to me in rainbows for years. I would find them. I would wake up in the middle of the night and my room would be lit with rainbows.
Oh, wow.
And so it means something to me, and it means the rainbow actually represents the sevenfold spirit of God. And so that particular day, the Lord told me to get out and pray and just walk the city. So I was walking on this rainbow, and just loving the Lord. And I was praying, and I saw a dragon hovering over Atlanta. And I was a little bit annoyed. I'm like, God, I just don't even want to see what the devil's doing, because I don't care.
Yeah.
And then I said, I just want to see what you're doing, Lord. And I looked, and the Lion of Judah was walking beside me as I was prayer walking the city.
Wow. And so, you know, it's funny because I thought, oh, you know, when I start sharing the stuff about angels and the encounters that people have actually had, people are going to think, you know, I'm crazy, or they're not going to want to hear it, or this or that. And there have been a few of those people, but there have been many, many more people who have said, well, Mike, it's amazing that I just saw this story with Christy, because I've had a lot of those experiences myself.
Right.
And so I think sometimes the enemy wants us to think that we're the only person out there who feels the same way that we feel, or we're the only person out there who believes the same way that we do. But that's not necessarily the case. You actually had another experience where you said you were in a room full of children and there was a dragon as well.
Absolutely. We were at it was a meeting for children. And the Holy Spirit was just there and thick in the room. And I look up and I see a dragon flailing on the ceiling, making a big scene.
Yeah.
And I'm like, again, I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't care what the devil's doing. I want to see what you're doing. And and then all of a sudden, after I asked the Lord to see what he was doing, I saw these angels that had lassoed this dragon and bound him with a rope of light.
Okay.
And one thing that I've learned about seeing angels and demons and different things is, demons don't care if you have any understanding. You know, that's why a lot of people see demons first. A lot of kids see demons, and a lot of adults see demons. And it's because they don't care if you have any understanding. But the Lord wants you to understand.
Yep.
He wants you to understand his heart, his love for his people, that he's a good father. And so sometimes when you first start seeing angels, we'll see in part. Like the very first, when I realized I was seeing, I would see things in almost like a chalk outline. And then as I grew in understanding, it would grow in detail.
Okay. So not only have you seen demons, but you're talking about where you've seen angels. I remember several years ago, it was last year or the year before, I was standing in the pool in our neighborhood, and there was a cloud, there was a storm that was coming right at me. And when I saw the storm coming right at me, I said, no, Lord, I said, I'm going to stand in this storm. I said, I'm going to stand here, Lord, and I pray right now that those storm clouds go right around me. They don't come over me. And literally the cloud went around the pool. One side of the cloud went around one side went around the other. And then it came together again once it was beyond me. And so I absolutely saw the power of God, but I don't know if you were at a conference or something, but you said something happened and you went three rows back.
Oh yeah. So, yes, I was at another, it was a retreat for Bethel, Atlanta.
Okay.
And that morning during worship, or when I walked in the room, I saw the ceiling open and I could see out into the universe.
Wow.
And, actually, this is a different story.
Okay.
Different story. Let me back up to the one we were talking about. But we were at a different conference. We were actually at a Seers conference.
Sure.
And I was, it was the time for prayer. You know, at a lot of these conferences, they pray for people. And I had my hands up, and I'm so hungry. you know, and I take things in the Bible literally. I'm like, if you'll do it for them, God, you'll do it for me. You're not a respecter of persons.
Right.
And so when I see things that are available that I didn't know about, I want it. And so I had my hands up and I'm crying out to God for more. And all of a sudden, I got sort of hit in the chest and flew three rows back and landed on my face down on the floor.
Yeah.
And I was a little dazed. I was completely fine.
Okay.
Not even a bruise. Not even a bruise. So anytime I've ever had encounters with angels or anything like that, or radical encounters being touched by God, I've never been hurt. You know, it may look a little crazy, but but I've never been hurt. But what does happen after that is something in my life has changed. Either that gift was a little better. I don't want to say better. That's not a good word, but. Like I walked in something that I didn't walk in before, in a greater measure. And so this kid came, you know, we were at a seer conference and this kid comes up and he's like, what did you see? What did you see?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I didn't see anything. I'm on my face, you know?
Yes.
And I'm like, what did you see? And he was like, I saw an angel come and it looked like you were struck by lightning and then you just went flying through the air.
Oh,
and I'm
gosh.
Like, amen.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun times.
So you had, and then you were actually going to tell another story. You said what?
Yeah. So, I don't know about this one. This one's kind of wild, but the sky or the ceiling opened up and I could see out into the universe and I saw a comet.
Okay.
And then the ceiling closed and I'm like, that's cool. And later on, same thing. It was time for prayer impartation. And the instructor had been teaching on revivalist.
Mm-hmm.
And when he went to do a prayer impartation, the ceiling opened again and I could see the comet, but this time the comet was coming and it came and it hit me in the chest and went into my body. And again, I went flying three rows back. And when I got hit, another lady got baptized in fire and multiple people got healed. And for about 3 hours, me and the other lady that got hit couldn't be around each other. Every time we would get close to each other, she would start trembling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So this stuff happens a lot.
I think it's normal to encounter our Father. You know, we were made to encounter God. We were made to be with God.
Yeah.
And we've been so conditioned in a natural realm that's anti-Christ, that's apart from God, that we think that these experiences are abnormal. But the Word says that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You know, we should be able to hear and follow the Lord. And, you know, there's biblical precedents for all kinds of things, for encounters with angels and dreams and I actually had an angel come to me in a dream and I did not obey and I got attacked by a demon after. But there's biblical precedence for all of those things. You know, the burning bush, there's just biblical precedence for all of it. But what I was just saying about I was on my way home from a conference and I was so tired that I had to pull over in a gas station and take a nap. And while I was asleep, it was like I went into a dream where I thought I was in a riot.
Mm-hmm.
There were people, there were the red-faced people. I've seen them before. I've seen them in a dream. They're people that have been marked by the blood of the Lamb, and they're red. They're like a dark red-faced people. Okay. And they were shouting to leave, go now. And it startled me awake. And instead of taking that dream literally and leaving, I was like, oh, it was just a dream. And I went back to sleep. And as soon as I closed my eyes, I immediately went into another dream where I was in a shopping mall, and it was the Spritzer girl, you know, the little Spritzer girls with the perfume.
Yeah.
And they were trying to spritz me and I kept saying, no, thank you. No, thank you. And she put her arm around me, grabbed me close, called me some ugly names and curse words and sprayed it in my right ear. And it startled me awake and I had a wet fluid in my ear. And then it freaked me out, obviously. And then I left and then I had to deal with, some pretty strange things in my ear. You know, it was harder to hear the Lord for about a week or two or three or whatever. I had to kind of battle some stuff, I had to do some warfare. But disobedience will always cost us something. You know, an angel came to me in a dream, or that encounter told me to leave and I didn't do it. There is a high price to pay for disobeying.
Wow.
You know, disobedience always cost us something.
Yeah, I was just looking at, I heard a sermon and it said that disobedience is the same as witchcraft.
Amen.
And I was like, whoa. I mean, we know, we think it's not that big of a deal, but it is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, kind of going back to what we were talking about before, when you were on the way over here, you said you were in the shower one night and an angel came to you.
So before I tell that story, you know, when we were created to be in perfect unity and communion with God. We were created in his likeness to be like God. And when Adam and Eve sinned, you know, I think it's always interesting how the thing that Satan tempted Eve with, he said, did God really say, if you eat of this fruit, you'll be like God? Right. Well, if she had just paused and realized she was already like God because she was created in his image. Mm-hmm. So it was already a manipulation of the truth, you know. Yeah. And but what Jesus did on the cross, he redeemed man back as if we had never sinned in the first place.
Okay.
And he gave us back our authority that we relinquished in the garden.
Okay.
And so, you know, Jesus is real, and the price that he paid is real. And one night I was, you know, I'm single. I'm not accountable to anybody, so I tend to work all night and do crazy stuff, like put out mulch till 4 in the morning and, you know, just weird things. And
yeah.
And that's common. And so this particular day I'd worked all day and worked all night, and it was about 4:30 in the morning. I went and got in the shower, and while I was in the shower, an angel appeared outside of the shower door. And I looked away, and I looked back, and she's still standing there. And she, not being male or female, but just looked a little feminine. I don't think they're male-female like we understand male-female. I really don't know. But I'm just going to call her a she.
Okay.
And so she was standing there in a white robe and had a scepter, and the scepter turned to fire. The day before, the Lord took me to Isaiah 4, and I was chewing on Isaiah 4, and I'd never really read the Bible like that. I was reading it at every translation, and there's a part where it says that the spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire, or they have to come before the glory comes.
Yeah.
And so I was just stuck on that, and I'm just reading about the spirit of judgment and fire and praying for God to send the spirit of judgment and fire on my life, because then the glory comes, and he burns out the chaff, you know?
Yeah.
And so, so as soon as I saw the scepter turn into a flame of fire, it reminded me of Isaiah 4. And so I got out of the shower after I washed my hair. I wish I would have just stopped and got out, but anyway. Uh-huh. And the angel was like, in one swoop, was like right in my face. And her expression was not, blessed are you, highly favored of the Lord.
Yeah.
Her expression was actually annoyed. And I still don't know if she was annoyed because I had not turned aside to the Lord all day, or if she had been waiting for years for me to sit in Isaiah 4 so she could give me this message. I really don't know. But this is what she said. She said, the end times judgment is coming. Judge yourself. You will perish. Judge yourself quickly. And poof, she was gone. And, you know, all the natural things went through my mind. Is it me? And the Lord's, that's all irrelevant. But after that, I went into my office and I'm like, God, is this for real?
Yeah.
And, you know, I really believe that two demons come every time we have a move of God in our life. And one is fear and the second is unbelief.
Okay.
There's always going to be something standing in your face saying, did God really say, was that God, you know, whatever. And so usually when the Lord talks to me, now there's been times where he spoke to me so stern that it blew conviction through my soul. And but most of the time when he talks to me like a father does his daughter.
Sure.
But this night he spoke to me so stern, and he spoke Revelation 16. And when I went, and I was asking him to confirm what I just encountered with that angel. And when I opened the Bible, Revelation 16 was about the judgment being poured out in the bowls. And just in case, you know, anybody's getting weird, you know, the purpose of judgment is repentance.
Yeah.
You know, the reason that we spank our children or discipline our children for running out in the street is so they don't get killed.
Yeah.
It's because we love them. It's to keep them so that a little pain now saves them from a life of torment later.
That's right.
The same thing now. Better a little suffering now than all eternity in hell.
Yeah.
You know, it's better to have a little suffering now and judgment now versus the eternal judgment. This judgment is temporary, but the eternal judgment is forever.
Yeah.
And better to suffer a little now. And so anyway, I got to the end of Revelation 16, and forgive me if I don't quote it exactly right. I'm not looking at it, but at the very end of it, the Lord said, basically to judge yourself so that you're not found to be naked and ashamed because he's coming soon. And judgment is coming to the church first. You know, we should judge ourselves to even see if we're still in the faith.
Yeah.
And I know recently there's been areas in my heart that's been so convicted and complacency and lukewarmness and rebellion to God. It's just revealed all the time. We're fallen and sin goes back to Adam. You know, none of us are immune to it. We don't get out of life without doing dirty stuff and dirty stuff being done to us. And, you know, a lot of people try to put on a persona that we're so perfect and we have it all together, but that's just a lie. you know, and we need each other. Like the body, it's one body, and we need to come together. We're not going to make it apart from each other. And so after the Lord spoke Revelation 16, Jesus came in the room, and I couldn't see him, but I knew he was there because I know who he is. I know him, and you can know him too. You know, it's not unique to me. Like it's a real salvation is to know God. And Jesus came in and he said, "Behold, I am coming soon." And he said, "Drink the cup of my suffering and take communion." And whew, he was gone. And I was sitting there trembling under the weight of the word. And so I went downstairs and just asked God, I mean, how many times have we been walking with God and we don't even get convicted about our sin anymore? Because things that that used to be sinful, we don't do anymore. Like I don't deal with lust and all these things that I used to deal with that's blatant sin. But now sin is internal sin. It's gossiping. It's judgments against people. It's internal things that God sees that other people don't.
That's right.
And so, you know, sometimes we're not even aware of areas where we're really fallen and we're really still just dealing with rebellion and sin. And yeah. And so repentance is really a gift from heaven.
Yeah. I mean, first, when you're talking about that, I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and this is in the New King James Version, starting in verse 24. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Amen. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, Amen. Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified."
Mm-hmm.
I thought I heard somebody say all you had to do was say a little prayer.
Yeah, I don't think so. Because in Revelation, it tells us that those who endure in the faith, those who endure, those are the ones that receive the crown of life. And we're in a day where we need perseverance and endurance and to cling fast to Jesus. You know, everything around us is in rebellion to God. But the word says that all creation is groaning, waiting on the sons of God to manifest the glory of our Father.
Yeah.
And that this is a day where we just cling to Jesus and cling to each other. Yeah. And we're going to see a move of God like the world has never seen.
Yeah. I think we're about to enter our finest moment.
Yes.
As Christians, I believe we're living in the last days. One of the things that you were saying, though, is that if we are going to stand in these times that are perilous, that are tough times to live in, you say that we're going to have to know the word of God because...
Yeah, so, and it just happened, so it's not, it hasn't quite penetrated in there. But yes, you know, God has exalted his word even above his own name. And it said that everything will be shaken except for the word of God. And if we don't have it stored up in our heart, then we won't be able to stand in the coming days. Yeah. And it actually, what the Lord spoke to me on the way over here is if we don't store up the word in our heart, that we're actually going to fall. We're not going to make it.
Wow.
And it talks about in the last days that even the elect are deceived.
Yeah.
Well, how can you be deceived if you're, you know, like the only way is to stay close to Jesus and the truth. And we're in a day where you've got your spiritual people over here and your truth people over here. But I mean, we need to collide. You know, it is the spirit and truth. You know, it's not one or the other. And people that walk in strong truth that have no spirit activity in their life, you know, there's a ditch on both sides. I mean, there's just a ditch on both sides.
Yeah. And so as we were talking about before, I've hidden my word. I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. But you said there may come a day pretty soon where they may be coming after our Bibles.
The Lord started telling me a few years ago that there was a famine coming, and it's a scripture. And I'm sorry, I'm not great with addresses sometimes, but there's a scripture that says that there's a famine coming, and it's not of food and water, but of the word of God. And so, you know, in other countries, you know, the Bible is illegal, and, you know, they're smuggling Bibles underground in China. And I had the privilege of going to Vietnam, and the people there, my goodness, we were with the underground church, and these ladies, these grandmas, I mean, they're like little grandmas. They would ride a bus for 8 hours and walk for days to come to a 3-day meeting to fast and pray, and didn't know how they were going to get back. Sure. And people were in prison, and they'll rip out a page of the Bible and memorize it as fast as they could so that they could pass it on, or so they didn't get caught with it and be killed.
You said be killed?
Yes. And most of the people that I met in the underground church, they had either been to prison, they had been beaten, they had been persecuted, and they can't grow. I mean, they're growing like astronomically, but like when their house church gets more than a few people, they have to split. So they can't have big meetings together anymore because it's dangerous.
Wow. And so he's coming soon. We have to hide his word in our heart or else we're not going to make it. And you started in the last minute that we've got, you started a ministry. Is it?
It's called Christ is Real.
R-E-E-L.
R-E-E-L, like a fishing reel. Yeah, we will probably have everything up and running in the next year or so. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you are doing a lot in the community. You're in Alamance County as well in Mebane. Right. You bought a farm.
Yes, we did buy a farm.
And it's funny because you had said, not funny, but you were talking about a famine coming. Myself and a lot of other people have seen a food shortage, an actual food shortage and stuff like that. And I think you said you saw something where your house didn't have any food, but you had plenty of food. Is that right?
So, boy, you're putting it all out there, aren't you? when we went to buy the farm, my daughter had a dream. Uh-huh. I didn't have any money. I wasn't in a position to buy. And I just went to look at it just to be looking.
Yeah.
And the night that we looked at it, my daughter had a dream that we were living in the house that we went and looked at, and that there was no more food, and the people that had food wouldn't sell us any food, but we were living on the farm, uh-huh. and we had all that we needed.
Wow. If not for God.
If not for God.
All right, for my YouTube channel, it's If Not For God with Mike Zwick. Just like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell so you'll be alerted when we have our next video.
This is the Truth Network.